not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." So in this passage, if we look before, the Apostle Paul, he's talking about all of the people that have seen Christ. He's talking about the apostles, all the people that have seen him. And picking up in verse 8, he starts talking about himself. And throughout these three verses, he makes it very clear that he does not consider himself worthy of being used by God or even meeting God. But he goes on to state, you know, what he has accomplished is through God. In verse 10, it says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." So everything he accomplished, everything good in him, was not because of him, it was because of God. So I want to paint a picture for you. So the setting is a high school football tryout. You've got all of your quarterback, your big linebackers, all your seasoned players, and in the middle of them, you've got this little scrawny kid. He's tried out in the past, but he was never fast enough. He was never athletic enough. And everybody just laughed at the fact that he was even there. But he goes to the tryout. He fights his way through, and he makes the team. Later on, he, through his perseverance and through help from others, he becomes the football player that he wants to be, and he goes on to win the championship game with a touchdown. So now this story, I'm sure everybody's heard a story like this, or, for me, growing up in the 90s, every single movie had this scenario in it. It's the story of the underdog. Somebody that the world looks at and says, they're worthless. They can't do this. There's no point for them even trying. But if we look at the Bible, there's examples of underdogs in the Bible. People that they're unlikely candidates for what God used them for. People that if we look at them, not in what you hear the main Bible stories, not in what they did for God. If we look at them before they served God, you would never think that these people would be eligible. So I've titled this God Wants to Use the Underdog. And I think many times we look at ourselves, and I've been there, and we look at ourselves and think, there's no way God can use me because of what I've done, what my past is. I'm not good enough to do what the Lord wants. But through our weaknesses, God can show himself strong. So God, like I said, God likes to use the underdog. He likes to use the people that most people aren't going to look at or think of. Today I want to look at three types of underdogs or undesirable people that God has used for great things in the Bible, and he still uses these types of people today. So first I want to look at, we'll go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. So 1 Samuel 17, we're going to start in verse 32. So this is a very common passage, very well known in this passage. The Israelites are at war with the Philistines. Goliath is out in the valley. He's a giant, a great war hero, and he's calling for a worthy opponent. He's cursing the Israelites, cursing God. And when David gets there, he hears Goliath, and he volunteers to face him. So starting in verse 32, "And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go out and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go out to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." So first we see God wants to use the small. Now, Saul's position in this passage is understandable. You walk into a room. You're with your friends. Again, this is directed toward teens, so bear with me. You walk into a room with your friends, and in front of you, as soon as you walk in, is Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And he looks at your group of friends, and he says, "So one of you have to fight me." So what are you going to do? Are you going to go, this is the smallest guy, we're going to sacrifice you. You go fight him. No, you're going to pick either the biggest and strongest, or the person that's most capable, if you don't do what most people would do and just immediately turn out the door and run. But you're going to pick somebody that you think can win that battle. So Saul was looking at David's size. He was looking at his age, the fact that David didn't have any kind of war or combat experience, but God saw what David would become and saw that he could use him. And as we read about David further on in the Bible, we learn how he becomes a great man of war and a great man of God. And Samuel 29:5, it says, "Is not this David of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, 'Saul slew his thousands and David his ten thousands. In that verse, that's actually Philistines talking about David. The Philistines were known for being a country of warriors. They were all great warriors, and this is them talking about David's exploits in battle. And again, so God took somebody that was small, that nobody thought could win, nobody wanted to use, and turned him into a great man. The next one I want to look at, we'll go to Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10. So Exodus 4, starting in verse 10. "And Moses said unto the Lord, 'O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue.' And the Lord said unto him, 'Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say.'" So in this passage, again, another very familiar story, the Lord has just asked Moses to go before, at that time, the greatest world leader. The Egyptians had a huge empire. That was as high as you could go in that time. And Moses hesitates. And when we look at it, Moses, he says he was slow of speech. Moses had a speech impediment. He could not speak clearly. And so he tells God, "I am slow of speech." But I love the response that God gives him. The Lord says, "Who hath made man's mouth?" So in other words, the Lord is saying, "Who do you think made you? I made you that way. Do you not think I can take care of this?" And the Lord knew, obviously, that Moses' abilities to speak were not up to par for this task, but he wanted to use him. So second, we see God wants to use the simple. Moses was not a famous, well-known preacher. He was slow of speech. He had a speech impediment. However, Moses later went on to be a great leader and a man of God, and he was actually the one chosen to receive the Ten Commandments. So again, we see somebody that had his issues. He had things that the world would look at him and say he's not worthy or not good enough to do this task, but God saw what he could do with him. For the last person, we're going to go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, we're going to read verses 1 through 5. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found and of this way whether there were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And he journeyed and came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So the last person we're going to look at is the Apostle Paul. Formerly, he was known as Saul. And this was a man, very, very well-educated man, and studied the Jewish law and spent a good portion of his life persecuting Christians. In fact, in this passage, Saul had just left where he had stoned Stephen, a Christian, for being a Christian. Now, I don't know about you, but this doesn't sound like your typical pastor or your typical preacher boy. Go from killing Christians and persecuting them, to being the pastor. But God saw what Saul could become through him. So last we want to look at, God wants to use the sinner. And if you continue to study out Paul's life, you see that Paul would go on to become one of the, probably the great, outside of Christ, the greatest missionary of all times. The things he accomplished in his day, modern or even historical missionaries could only dream to accomplish. But again, as we looked at in the opening passage, but by the grace of God which was with me, all of it was done through God. It wasn't anything that Paul did. And again, it was somebody that God saw that he could use to do his will. And for me, a little bit of a personal testimony. For me, the way God used Paul has always been an encouragement. Because I can relate to it. Obviously, not to the extent, I've never gone out and persecuted Christians. But so for me, growing up, my parents, had a good Christian upbringing. The best scenario you could ask for as a Christian child. And as a young man, I was called to ministry and surrendered to the ministry. But as a teenager, I decided that I didn't want to do it. I pulled a Jonah. I decided I wasn't going to serve the Lord, and I ran as far as I could. I joined the Marine Corps and just removed myself from godly influences and, lived the life of a sinner. I did everything I could where I wouldn't get in trouble in the Marine Corps. And I had, being from a Christian family and, a good church, there were a lot of people that looked at the state of my life and said, he's a lost cause. God doesn't want to use him. God can't use him. I even had people, tell me I was a disgrace to Christians, which, in their defense, at the time, the way I was living, I was. But God saw where I was and looked past that and saw what I could be. He saw the potential in what he could do through my life. Again, being an unlikely candidate for his work. And, you know, through a lot of different things, the Lord worked in my life. And, you know, here I am today. I'm, you know, getting pretty close to finishing Bible college. It's been a little while, but, you know, it's been a long road, but the Lord has taken me a long way from, you know, where he started. In closing, God wants to use the underdog. He wants to use the unusable. He wants to use the small and the weak that everybody overlooks. He wants to use the simple, the ones that doubt their abilities in Christ, and he wants to use the sinner. He wants to use the one that everybody's cast aside and that don't think that God can use them. Now, I do want to take a second. If you are here today, and you know, all of this, what God can use you for, that only applies to you if you are a Christian, if you are saved. So if you are here and you're not sure, John 3:16, you know, very common verse, a lot of people have heard it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So in that verse it says, whosoever. That means anyone, no matter who you are, what you've done, what your past is, God wants to save you and he wants to have a relationship. Anyone in this room today, at some point, was in the same position you are in. In Romans 3:23 it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that for all is everybody. That's me, you, that's the pastor, that's everybody. So if you have any questions about that, please don't hesitate to ask somebody before you leave today. Yep.